to Kids Club tonight. Hosea chapter number 10 is where we'll be tonight. Message is going to be very simple tonight. Outline will be very simple. We're just going to look at one verse here in Hosea. Actually, we'll look at two verses, but our text is one verse tonight in Hosea 10. We will look at a passage in Isaiah 5, very familiar passage tonight. But Hosea chapter 10, let's read verse number 1 tonight if we could. This would be our text. The Bible says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. And so tonight I want to bring you a message simply entitled, An Empty Vine. An Empty Vine. Father, please help tonight. Please teach us. Father, I pray that you would challenge us, encourage us. Father, whatever needs may be present here tonight, whether we preach to those needs or not, I pray that your Holy Spirit would meet every single need that's present with us tonight. Father, I pray for the children next door. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd use the Word of God just one more time to be placed into their hearts. And Father, I pray for these young people. Many of them are not saved. Many of them do not know Christ. And Father, I pray that over the course of this summer, as Miss Beverly has more intimate time to teach and to be with them, Lord, I pray that there might be some of these children that would be saved this summer. Father, we thank you for them. Thank you for the opportunity that you allow us to be able to bring them in. And I pray that the Word of God would pierce their hearts. And I pray that they would see their need. And I pray that it would do the same for us in this auditorium tonight. We do pray for those that are sick, those that are traveling. Father, those that need to be saved. Father, those that we've been praying for, those that have spiritual needs. Father, we want to lift those up to you tonight. And I pray that we would in just a few moments. And Father, I pray that you would incline your ear toward us and that you would hear us tonight. And Father, I pray that, Lord, we would just lift our hearts and we would pour our hearts out to you tonight. Teach us and we'll thank you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to give you two points tonight, two truth points, and we'll develop those just a little bit. The first thing I want to give you tonight, speaking about an empty vine, I want us to see, first of all, tonight, that the empty vine was planted by and for the Savior. Would you take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter number 5? As we begin tonight, I want us to see first and foremost that this empty vine, Israel, if you will, here in the book of Hosea, was planted for and by the Savior. Notice Isaiah chapter 5. This ought to be a familiar passage to us tonight. The empty vine was planted by and for the Savior. Now, by the way, we'll see this as we get into it. Did God plant Israel with the purpose of them ending up being empty? Absolutely not. And by the way, and let me read it again. You're in Isaiah chapter number 5. By the way, they weren't fruitless. The Bible says in Hosea 10, verse number 1, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit. He was bringing forth fruit. But he was bringing forth fruit unto himself, the Bible says. God never planted Israel. God never chose Israel as the apple of his eye, as we saw Sunday. God never planted Israel, chose Israel as his chosen nation upon this earth for them to end up being an empty vine. That wasn't his plan. That wasn't his purpose. But that's how they ended. Notice Isaiah chapter number 5, verse 1. The Bible says, Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. You see, it wasn't fruitless. It bore fruit, but it wasn't the fruit that God intended, was it? No, it was wild grapes, the Bible says. Instead of the grapes that God desired from them, they brought forth wild grapes. Let me give you two thoughts here as we think about the fact that the empty vine was planted by and for the Savior. First of all, tonight, He erected a fence around it. He erected a fence around this vineyard, around the vine that He planted. He erected a fence around it. By the way, an expression, if you will, of protection and preparation. Notice what the Bible says there in verse number 2. And He fenced it, Isaiah 5, and gathered out the stones thereof. He fenced it, He cultivated it, He prepared the soil. He did everything that He could and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. And by the way, and notice this, and also made a wine press therein. What was the wine press for? To crush the grapes. That's what a wine press is for. When the grapes were harvested, then they would put it in the wine press. They would crush those grapes. They would get the juice from those grapes. And so if He's going to build a wine press, what do you think He is expecting to get? Grapes. Good grapes. Grapes that are going to taste good. Not wild grapes. And so first of all, tonight He erected a fence around it, which is an expression of His protection and His preparation. Notice what He says in verse number 4. He said, "What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it?" You know what God is saying to the nation of Israel? He said, "What more could I have done for you?" He said, I did everything I could for you. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? By the way, young people tonight, teenagers, young adults tonight, your parents one day may say that. I hope not. I hope they don't have to say that. There may come a day when your parents say, "What more could I have done for you? How much more of the Word of God could I have given you? How many more times could I have taken you to church? How many more times could we have read the Bible together?" And by the way, they may say, "Well, more, because we didn't do it enough." That might be true. But your parents may have to come to the point, because you have sowed or you have reaped, if you will, wild grapes. And they may say, what more could I have done? By the way, don't let that happen. Please don't let that happen. Your parents have erected, many of you, your parents have erected a fence. And they've taken out the stones so that you could grow for the glory of God. Don't be mad at the fence. The fence keeps the intruders out. The fence keeps those out that would want to destroy the vineyard and destroy the vine. The Bible says He erected a fence, an expression of protection and preparation. Secondly, not only did He erect a fence, He expected fruit. The empty vine was planted. We're talking about the empty vine. We're talking about Israel. The empty vine was planted for and by the Savior. He erected a fence. He protected it. He prepared it. He did everything He could to allow that vine to grow for His honor and His glory. And so He erected a fence, and when He did that, when He prepared the soil, when He got all the stones out, when He did that, He expected fruit from it. We mentioned this just a moment ago. He built a wine press. Why would He do that? He's not going to waste His time building a wine press unless He expects grapes. He expected fruit from it. Would you take your Bibles and go to the New Testament just briefly here tonight? Would you first go to the book of Colossians tonight? The empty vine was planted by and for the Savior. He erected a fence around it. He expected fruit from it. And by the way, we can get angry, or not angry, but we can preach against the nation of Israel and how wicked they were and what they did and the fact that they went against God and the fact that they forgot their Maker, as we have seen in the book of Hosea. And we've seen sin after sin after sin in the book of Hosea. But dear friend, God has done everything for us to allow us to be successful. Are we? Are we bringing forth grapes, or are we bringing forth wild grapes? Notice what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 6. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." As ye, look, we've been planted in Jesus Christ. Romans 6 tells us that specifically. We are planted in Jesus Christ. When we receive Christ, we are planted in Him. And the Bible says in verse number 7, rooted, He says, "So walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith." Rooted. Rooted. If I'm rooted in Christ, what's going to be the fruit? What's going to be the product, the crop? Christ-like. If I'm rooted in Christ, what's going to be produced? Christ. We could say, well, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, that's true. That we're going to produce that, but we're going to produce Christ. He said, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you." By the way, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to spoil the vine, doesn't he? Well, that's why the Bible tells us to beware of the little things, of the small foxes that do what? That spoil the vine. Beware of the little foxes. Why did God erect a fence around His vineyard? Was it possibly to keep the little foxes out that are going to spoil the vine? And He says here, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Number one tonight, the empty vine was planted by and for the Savior. He erected a fence around it. He expected fruit from it. Go back just a little bit. Would you go back to the book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter number 4. This is a passage we were in not too long ago. Ephesians chapter number 4. We'll begin in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." You know what those people are for? They're for a fence around us. They're for our protection and they're for our preparation. That's what they're for. They're to protect us and they're to prepare us. How do you know that, Pastor? Look at verse number 12. For. What are they for? It tells us in verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look, the empty vine was planted by and for the Savior Israel. What was God's chosen people? He planted them. He desired wonderful fruit for them, but it never came to fruition. When I get saved, I am planted in Jesus Christ. I am supposed to be rooted in Him. I am supposed to grow in Him. As 1 Peter says, to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm to grow in Him. And God gives us fences. God gives us protection. He gives us preparation. Verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Listen, every single person in here tonight, you have been given much light. Some more than others. Some of you have been in church for 70 plus years. Some of you not so much. But everyone in this room tonight has been given a lot of light. Has been given a lot of truth from this Bible. I look around at the young people. Y'all have been given a lot of truth, even at your young age. You have been given a lot of light. You have a fence erected around you. You are being protected and prepared so that you can grow for the glory of God. Listen, don't end up being an empty vine. Don't end up one day where someone looks at you and it looks like a beautiful vine that would bring forth great fruit, but they look at it and there's nothing there. It's empty. And we're going to get to why that's true in just a moment. Look at verse number 14. That we henceforth, and by the way, verse 13, the goal, if you will, it says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We've said this many, many times. Our desire, our goal, our measuring stick is always Jesus Christ. It's not someone else. Brother Nathan's measuring stick is not me. Brother Nathan's measuring stick is not his Sunday school teacher, Brother Roma. His measuring stick is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. By the way, the nation of Israel, they were carried about with every new god that came along. Every new god, they wanted to worship it. The Apostle Paul tells the church at Ephesus, I've given you apostles, I've given you prophets, I've given you evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that you can grow. And not just grow, but that you can grow into maturity, spiritual maturity. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may what? What's the word there? May grow. May grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God has given us His Word. He's given us pastors. He's given us teachers. He's given us people to teach the Word. He gives us the Holy Spirit that we can study the Word ourselves. Right? Amen? You don't just have to have the pastor. You don't just have to have a teacher. You have yourself. Because He's given you the Holy Spirit. The priesthood of the believer. We can all go directly to the throne of grace. Number one tonight, the empty vine was planted by and for the Savior. But number two tonight, the empty vine, take your Bibles and go back to Hosea 10 if you would. The empty vine was prosperous, but only for self. The empty vine was planted by and for the Savior to bring glory to Jehovah God. But the empty vine was prosperous only for self. Would you notice verse 1 again? The Bible says Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Wasn't fruitless. He bore fruit. But it was wild grapes. And by the way, it was fruit unto himself according to the multitude. And boy, this keeps coming up over and over in this study of Hosea. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. The empty vine was prosperous, but only for self. Let me give you two thoughts under that tonight. First of all, they wasted God's goodness. They wasted God's goodness. By the way, what did they waste God's goodness on? The Bible says the more they got, the more fruit that they produced, what did they use it for? To make images and to make altars. They used it for self. And by the way, not just for self, but they used it for false gods and false worship. The more they were blessed, the more they used it for self. And boy, that just keeps coming up in this book. And that was in Deuteronomy that we looked at recently. Just keeps coming up over and over and over. The more God blessed them, the more they hoarded it upon themselves instead of bearing fruit for God's glory. Remember what we said? I believe we said it last Sunday, or actually a couple Sundays ago, that Israel, that one of God's desires for Israel was to be a light to the world. That was His desire for Israel. Now, it didn't come to pass. But His desire for Israel, now we're the light now, aren't we? We're the light, we're the salt. But His desire for Israel was that they would be a witness and that they would be a light to the world. But the Bible says the more that God gave them, the multitude of their fruit, the more they made, the more they were blessed, they used it to build altars. And by the way, not to God, not to Jehovah. They used it to build altars to Baal, to Ashtaroth. They used it for false worship. So first of all tonight, as we think about the fact that they were prosperous, but only for self. Why was that true? Because they wasted God's goodness. Can I ask us tonight? I need to ask myself this. Have I ever wasted God's goodness in my life? The more He has blessed, the more He has blessed. Have I kept that for myself? Have I hoarded that upon myself? Or have I used it to give Him glory? Have I used it to proclaim His name? Have I used it to be a witness to the world, to be a light to this world? First of all, they wasted God's goodness. By the way, you don't have to turn there, but let me remind us what we read in Deuteronomy. I believe it was this past Sunday, Deuteronomy 13, 17. The Bible says they sacrificed unto what? Anybody remember? They sacrificed unto devils. They sacrificed unto devils. In verse 15 of Deuteronomy 32, but Jeshurun, another name for Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, the Bible says. And by the way, God there is big G. Not to God. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods, little g, whom they knew not. To new gods, little g, that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Remember what we said? The next new God that came, they were going to sacrifice to it. Just like Ephesians 4, the Bible says that we be not henceforth tossed to and fro, that we be not children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. God wants us to grow and be spiritually mature. Israel never did that. And every new little g God that came along, they're worshiping it. And He says they have sacrificed to devils. It says to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Your fathers didn't fear those gods. Your fathers feared Jehovah God. Of the rock, capital R, that begat thee, thou art unmindful. We mentioned that Sunday. And hast forgotten God that formed thee. They were prosperous, but only for self. First of all, tonight, they wasted God's goodness. Hey, dear friend, tonight, none of us in here tonight know how much time we have. It is the goodness of God that gives us the breath that we have even right now. Let's don't waste it. Let's don't waste it. My wife and I were talking even within this past week. And I was like, look, sweet, we don't need to waste any time. We don't know how much time we have left on this earth, whether by rapture or whether by death. None of us know that. We can't waste the goodness of God on things that have no eternal value. You say, Pastor, we can't have fun. We can't play putt-putt because that has no eternal value. That's not what I'm saying tonight. You know what I'm saying tonight? We give a lot of our lives. Nothing wrong with relaxation. We all need that at times. Not at 1 o'clock in the morning, though. Right, Miss Kathy? No putt-putt at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm just teasing. Brother Snow's already told the teens next week they're going to play putt-putt till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Is that right? They stay open that late? Listen, think about just the past couple days. What have we given our time to? What have we given our money to? You know what? God's good to us, isn't He? I drove the van in tonight with the kids, and I drove through the parking lot. Nice vehicles. By the way, that's okay. I'm not condemning that tonight. God has blessed us. Okay, let's don't waste it. They wasted the goodness of God. Verse 1 says, according to the goodness of His land, they have made goodly images. Number 2, not only did they waste God's goodness, but they worshiped their own glory. They worshiped their own glory. They trusted in self. Would you look at verse 13 of Hosea 10? Lord willing, we'll be in verse 12 sometime soon. One of the great revival verses in all of the Scriptures. But verse number 13, in verse 12, He tells them to sow in righteousness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. But notice what He says in verse 13. He says, ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies. And notice this. Why? Because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. You know what God said? He said, you're worshiping your own glory. Instead of worshiping me, instead of giving me my proper glory, you're trusting in yourself. You're trusting in your own way. You're trusting in your mighty men. The empty vine was prosperous, but only for self. They wasted God's goodness. They worshiped their own glory. One pastor said it this way. He said, people and nations fail when they live for lesser things than God's glory. Can I say that again? People and nations fail when they live for lesser things than God's glory. How many people in our nation today are living for how many likes they can get on social media? How sad. How sad. Instead of living for the glory of God. I'm not here to condemn any of that tonight. But I found early that I needed to stay off of those things because, you know what? Pastors can fall prey to that just like anybody else. And you post a tweet or you post a statement and you're thinking, man, all my pastor friends are going to like it and everything. And then you get like one like and you're like, hey, where are you guys at? You know what you need to do? You know what I did? I just got away from that. I don't worry about who likes what I say, and I don't worry about necessarily liking what somebody else says. If somebody says something good, I appreciate it. And I may use it in a message, but we get too hung up on that stuff. Instead of living for the glory of God, the nation of Israel, the empty vine, if you will, they were trusting in their own way and they were trusting in the multitude of thy mighty men. Can I say this tonight? I'm extremely grateful. We just came off of Memorial Day. I'm extremely grateful for the armed forces of the United States of America. But God help us that that's not where we put our trust. We put our trust in the God of heaven, who has blessed and blessed and protected and protected and protected. Take your Bibles and go back to Isaiah 5 and we'll be done tonight. What was the result? Isaiah chapter number 5. The empty vine was planted by and for the Savior. For His glory, He wanted them to worship Him. He wanted them to be the light to this world. The empty vine was prosperous, but only for self. They wasted God's goodness. They worshiped their own glory. What was the result of that? Verse number 3 of Isaiah 5. First of all, in verse 2, we know they brought forth wild grapes. But verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Isn't that what happened to Israel? By the way, that's what happened to Jerusalem as well. Verse 6, and I will lay it waste. As much as they wasted, God said, I'm going to lay it waste. It's just going to lie dormant. The thorns are going to come up. The Bible says it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, he looked for righteousness as well, but behold, a cry. An empty vine. Hey, dear church family tonight, God help us that we will not consume God's goodness upon self. That we'll not use all the goodness, all the blessings, all the benefits that God has poured upon us as a people, as an individual for that matter, as a family. And we'll not consume it upon ourselves. But we'll use it. Here, God help us that we bring forth grapes and not wild grapes. That we glorify our God in heaven and not glorify self. We skipped a lot in Hosea 10. We'll come back to it. Hey, let me say this tonight. From chapter 4 all the way up to now, it's been a lot of bad. But just hold on. We're getting to chapter 13. 13, there'll be some good stuff, okay? Because here's the truth. We started in chapters 1 through 3 with Hosea loving a wife that was an adulteress. For all intents and purposes, she was a harlot. And he still loved her. Didn't he? Still sought her in the midst of her adultery. As bad as it is in chapters 4, almost to the end of the book, chapter number 13, the love of God always shines forth. The love of God always wins out, doesn't it? Every single time. Even as wicked as we can be sometimes, God is merciful, and God is gracious, and God is long-suffering. And God help us. We'll get to that very soon. An empty vine. God help us not to be that tonight. I'm going to ask Miss Jo to come to the piano tonight. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to stand. We're just going to have a short time of invitation tonight. It might be someone that needs to deal with something tonight. Maybe there's someone in here tonight. You'd say, Pastor, I have allowed, as we've said many times in recent weeks, I have allowed the blessings to become more important than the one who's given it to me. I have consumed God's goodness upon myself. Maybe you need to deal with that tonight. I don't know. I don't know what needs you might have tonight. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand and just have a moment of invitation tonight. If you need to come, if you need to sit right where you're at in your pew, we'll do that tonight. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the word that you gave us tonight. Father, please, would you give us the courage, the strength, the boldness, the trust in you, the faith in you. Father, that as a church, as individual Christians, as families, that our Christian lives would not be empty vines. Where when you come and look for that precious fruit, those grapes, you come and find wild grapes. God, help that not to be the case in this church family tonight. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you're physically able, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's going to play. Friend, if you need to come, if you just need to sit where you're at there tonight and just pray, and just ask the Lord to deal with your heart tonight, whatever the case would be. May not even be anything we spoke about tonight. Maybe the Lord brought something back to mind. Maybe you read in your devotions this week, or maybe even from the messages Sunday. Might be someone here tonight that you don't know Christ. I look around and everyone here has given a testimony of salvation, but dear friend, you're the one who knows, you and God. And if in your heart tonight you know, or maybe you just have some doubts about your salvation, maybe you'd come tonight and say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pastor, if death were to take me tonight, I'm not sure." An empty vine. You know, we ought to let that word picture just kind of percolate in our minds over the next few days. An empty vine, absolutely in opposition to what God desired for the nation of Israel. He desired for them to produce great clusters of wonderful grapes. They produced wild grapes. And to him, even though there was fruit on the vine, to him it was empty because it brought him no glory. It was vain. It was worthless. And by the way, anything done outside or away from God's will and not in God's will and not for God, it's vain. It's worthless. Has no value. I'm going to pray and dismiss us, but I do encourage you, I want you to stay tonight and just spend a little time in prayer and find someone to pray with tonight, whether that's family or just a friend. Find someone and let's spend some time in prayer. Lift these requests up to the Lord tonight. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Let's pray for Grant Hilliard tonight. And he is in Illinois, left last week.